All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this time in your word. And Lord, as we look at this topic, the topic of the tongue, the topic of our speech, Lord, may you show us some things from your word that would challenge us regarding the use of our speech. Lord, that would even change us, that we would be more disciplined in our use of our speech, to be encouraging, to be uplifting, to be people who improve our own lives, not only our own lives, but the lives of others with our speech. So, Lord, give us some things that we can use in our lives, even this week and in the weeks to come. Bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 16, look at verse 18 here. Proverbs 16 and verse 18, just a few verses before we really get into the meat of the lesson today. In Proverbs 16 and verse 18, the Bible says this, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Now, I think there are two things that will destroy a life, really, two things that will even destroy a church faster than anything else. The first thing is pride. The second thing is prayerlessness. And I think the two kind of go hand in hand, because if someone is proud, they really don't see their need for prayer, do they? Of bowing down before God and submitting to Him in prayer. Pride and prayerlessness. You know, the Bible says if we become proud, that's a forerunner to our destruction. It's a foresignaling of our falling. Now, remaining humble is vital. In verse 19, it goes on in the same vein here. "Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts the Lord, happy is he." So you find good in wise actions. Wise actions are always, listen, always cautious actions. They're actions that take thought beforehand, right? When in doubt, take the conservative route when it comes to your speech. And that's a good thing to remember. Wise actions are always cautious actions, especially when it comes to our tongue. A wise person does not jump to conclusions. Now, we'll talk about that more in just a moment. Verse 21. "The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increases learning." Well, there it is. Speech that increases learning. Speech that teaches. Speech that imparts knowledge. Verse 22. "Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips." Boys, those are some great verses, aren't they? Some great verses. You find good in wise actions. Now, think before you speak. Teach your mouth, right? Teach your mouth that before it opens, you need to find the bottom of a matter. You need to prepare your mouth to say the correct things, to say wise things. You know, I've heard people say sometimes, "Well, I just say whatever crosses my mind." Well, that's probably not a very wise thing to do, especially what comes through my mind. It wouldn't be a wise thing to do if I were you. Be careful. Be careful with your speech. Verse 24, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, health to the bones." Saying the right things at the right time strengthens people. It uplifts people. It encourages people. It helps people. It helps us. It's another great, great verse. Pleasant words. Communication that is uplifting. Communication that is edifying. Communication that is helpful. And by the way, tonight, we are kind of focusing on the speech that comes through our mouths. Physical speech. But in our technological day and time, right? There are some ways we have of communicating that don't necessarily use the mouth, right? We have things like social media, We have texting, we have Facebook, we have the Twitter, and all those other things that do not involve the tongue per se. But, obviously, our use of words, whether we speak them or whether we type them out with our fingers, are just as important. And we need to be just as careful in what comes from that. Yes? Ah! I'm not there yet. I'm not to the outline yet. But I'm going to turn that around and use that in a moment. We need to be careful, even in what we type with our fingers. We need to be careful about the words that we use. I'm thinking of one time when somebody I knew got really angry at somebody else, and they sent out an email, not just to the person they were angry with, but to several other people. They sent out this email, and I called him up, and I confronted him about this email. And he immediately recanted, and he said, "Oh boy, I wish I had never sent that." But it was too late. You know, sometimes in our speech, we can say something, and sometimes it can go, even with me, it can go in one ear and out the other. You know, it can be forgotten. But you know, when it's out there in text form, when it's out there on the internet, it's just out there permanently. And there's no taking it back. Be careful. Be careful with your communication. It's vital. Now, pleasant words, verse 24, are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Verse 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, in relation to speech, even when something at the spur of the moment seems like the right thing to say, seems maybe sometimes like the satisfying thing to say, be cautious. Be cautious about it. Take some time. Think about it before you say that thing, before in the heat of the moment, before you send that text. Take some time. Just some ideas from Proverbs 16 about our speech. Okay, I'll drag this over here so I can see. There we go. Are we up on the screen? We are. You know what? I didn't bring the clicker. I'm going to have to do it by hand. All right, the third chapter of James. I think we have it in here. Nope, we don't. Oh, we did have those, though. Sorry. Well, we'll get to the first point here in a moment. The first chapter of James warns us that no man can tame the tongue. Now, while perfection in our speech won't be obtained in this lifetime, no one in this lifetime will ever gain perfect control over their tongue. It's just not going to happen. We'll never have complete control. While that won't be obtained in this lifetime, believers can, in fact, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, discipline our tongues so that we can become better about our speech, so that we can learn to control various parts of our speech and be pleasing to the Lord. Now, some of you may say, maybe like this, "Pastor, here's my problem. I'm always saying something and then 10 minutes later regretting what I said, wishing I hadn't said what I said." Everybody from time to time struggles with that. Some more than others, some less than others. But every person struggles. There's not a person in this room, there's not a person probably on this earth that hasn't said something sometime that they've regretted. You know, you've said it in the heat of the moment, or you said it hastily, you said it quickly without thinking about what you were saying, and even as it was at the edge of your lips, maybe something came to the forefront of your mind and you thought, you know, "I better not say it." And yet it came out, right? And you knew it was going to upset people and perhaps harm people. And that was right in front of your mind and the words came out anyways. And before you could recall them, there they are, hanging out in the air. And they were heard and somebody was hurt. Somebody was injured. Or something like that. They were offended. Every one of us has had that experience. Now, I will not guarantee that that will never happen in your life. But you can be disciplined in your speech. There are some areas where we should work diligently to discipline. Now, having said that, let me just say this. We are, I think, subconsciously at least, influenced by a society today that glorifies abusive speech. Why else do we elect some of the people, now I'm speaking particularly of the U.S., elect some of the people that we elect to, say, the presidency? People of abusive speech. That's how our society is. You know, you talk about road rage and you talk about things like that. We talk about people become very, very upset at the drop of a hat, at something that's been said that really somebody didn't mean, and people took it the wrong way, and they become unglued, and they just unload the truck on somebody in a high tone of volume. It happens in today's day and age more than ever. You know, one day I was in the, this was a while back though, I was in the store wanting to, I was in line at the checkout wanting to buy something. And I ended up behind somebody who was unhappy about something that they were trying to do. I think maybe they were trying to return an item or something, and the cashier was told them that they had to go somewhere else, or they couldn't do that for them. Maybe they didn't have a receipt. I don't know what it was. She was trying to explain that she couldn't do something for this customer. And this customer, she became unglued. And she started to yell loudly at the cashier in a manner that the whole store could hear. And you could look around and you could see people just wide-eyed with a look of amazement on their face, probably waiting for something, wishing something will happen so that they could have something to record on their phones or whatever. But the cashier continued to be very patient with them, explaining the store policy and why she couldn't do what the customer asked her to do. And she began to berate the customer, the cashier. She just berated the cashier. And I thought, as I stood there in line, what in the world? You know, we are so quick in our society today just to jump down someone's throat. You know, as children of God, we should and we can do better with the help of the Holy Spirit. Disciplining the tongue. Now, let's look at some verses in Proverbs about the discipline of the tongue. Now, the Bible tells us several things, key areas of vigilance that we need to look out for, we need to be watchful of. And these would be areas that you would want to concentrate on if you're going to have speech that glorifies the Lord. So let's look at it. Roman numeral number one. Oh, we're already there. See that? Roman numeral number one. Do not speak prematurely. And you know what? I did not bring the outlines. Okay, so write them down if you need them. Do not speak prematurely. Now, I touched on this in previous lessons, but it's been a while. I'll go into a little more depth today. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. We'll look at verse 13. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. The Bible says there, and I've got it on the screen too, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Don't answer a matter. Don't come up with an answer before you hear out a matter. Proverbs 29, if you want to turn there. Proverbs 29 and verse 20. And it says there in Proverbs 29 and verse 20, do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Now, what does that mean? I think it means several things. If we look at letter A in our outline, that's on the screen. Be careful about jumping to conclusions when presented with an issue or problem. Be careful about jumping to conclusions. Now, listen carefully here. Wisdom is not depicted, wisdom is not displayed in the rapidity of our answers. That is, how fast you can answer someone. Sometimes wisdom is displayed in how you analyze a problem, how you take time to know the situation and seek to find a proper answer. Now, sometimes that's a problem with us as pastors, because people sometimes want to walk up and say, well, what do you think of it? They kind of spread out the problem and they want an immediate answer. What do you think? What's your advice to me? And sometimes I really cannot give a proper answer right on the spur of a moment, and I shouldn't. Because oftentimes I'll say the wrong thing if I don't think about what I'm saying. So study an issue. Know the ins and the outs of a problem. Listen intently without jumping to conclusions or without saying anything. Okay, some of the most intelligent people I know are people who wait to hear all the ins and outs of a problem. People who search out and want to know everything about a problem before they come to a conclusion. Well, Siri found some things on the web for me, so... it's almost as if, you know, those type of people, you're on the edge of your seat waiting for them because they're not answering right away. You're just on the edge of your seat waiting for them to give an answer, the judgment that this individual has, because they've listened to all aspects of the problem, they know the ins and outs of it, and now they're ready to give you some advice on the whole matter. Now, that is indicative of wisdom, seeking out all the issue and giving a wise answer. Frequently, diligent inquiry into the nature of an issue prompts solutions that would not have been found with just a surface perusal of the problem. So we're in too much of a hurry today, aren't we? Just too much of a hurry. And the Bible says, rather than speaking prematurely, you should listen. You should listen to all the ins and outs of everything and then come to an answer. And this, by the way, is important in biblical counseling. Right? You cannot solve a problem in 5 seconds. You just can't. Again, this is one of those great weaknesses of some of these pop psychologists you hear on the radio who hear about 5 minutes of a problem, give their decisive answer on the problem after not hearing one or two sentences of it, and stand on that problem for the rest of their show, stand on that answer, without really hearing the issue. And the Bible says that is not wise. Right? You need to listen to a problem, you need to understand the ins and the outs, and then apply biblical principles to that. So be careful about jumping to conclusions. Letter B. Avoid taking sides on an issue without adequate first-hand knowledge of the facts. Don't take sides of an issue without knowing the issue, okay? Remember, you base your answer on the facts, not on somebody's interpretation of the facts. You know, you hear only one side of the issue, well, you're not getting all the facts. So listen, this is vital. I have dealt with this many times, and what amazes me is the strong stand certain individuals take without having one shred of first-hand evidence. They just hear one or two sentences of a problem, they draw their conclusion, maybe because it's their friend, maybe because of the relationship they have with that person, they automatically take that person's side, whatever it is, not one shred of evidence. Well, Pastor, so-and-so told me this or that. Well, what so-and-so said is up for interpretation. Now, one of the things I seek to do is to have first-hand knowledge. Go to the source. Especially if it's an issue that you have to take sides on. Now, one of the things I seek to do is have that first-hand answer. You take sides based on principle. And principle is based on facts. It's not based on feeling. It's not based on opinion. So when you come to a conclusion, you have to have all the facts in your hip pocket. And be prepared then to present not an interpretation, not to present an opinion, not to present, hey, this is how I feel on the issue. You present hard facts. Hard facts. And you say, well, that takes a lot of time. Yes, it does. It takes a lot of time to seek out a matter. But it's worth it to give good, biblical, solid answers. It takes diligent work. It takes diligent inquiry and doing your homework. But I'll tell you this, it's better to know from first-hand knowledge than to wander off out on a limb only to have that limb break off on you as you go out onto it. So Know your facts. I read an article a while back where they interviewed a man who was actually in Adolf Hitler's inner circle of advisors. And he told about his close associations with Hitler, and he had intimate knowledge of some of the workings of the Third Reich. But in the interview, he made this observation. He said, Hitler always believed the first person who came to him with advice, with a story. So if his top aides wanted his attention, if his top aides wanted to be heard, they knew that they had to be the first one to get to him. And he believed the first person. And then when subsequent people would come to him with a different side of the story, he would look at them with suspicion. He would treat them with suspicion because he felt he had some kind of inside information. He'd already taken his side. He'd already made his decision. And he would work that way. That, friends, that is a consummate lack of wisdom. If you're going to have to take sides on an issue, make a judgment about something that is serious. It is vital that you do your research before voicing your opinions. Do your research. Look at both sides of the issue. Right? In other words, found your opinion on facts, not on conjecture, not on feeling. Letter C. Weighty matters always require painstaking, detailed research. Painstaking, detailed research. Don't speak. Again, don't speak until you can back up your assertions with your homework. And I personally have found that to be true. Time after time, rather than saying, okay, this is the way I think it is, rather than say, this is the way that I feel about it, I can go to Scripture. And I can know my details and the Bible, and I can say, listen, this is what the Bible says it is. The Bible says the way it is. And I can go into great detail that way. And when you've done your homework, you can answer a question. Be extremely cautious about jumping on a bandwagon. You know, everybody feels this way, so we jump on that bandwagon without having done your homework. Do not speak prematurely. It's unwise, okay? Roman numeral number 2. This is a good one. Do not speak too much. Don't speak too much. And this is an occupational hazard for some of us, isn't it? It's an occupational hazard for pastors. Talking too much. We're used to talking. Right? Turn with me to Proverbs 17, if you would. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, look at verse 27. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and verse 27, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Now, if you want to turn back a little to Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. What a tremendous, inspired advice that is, huh? And one more, Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, we'll look at verse 23. Proverbs 14 and verse 23. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter only leads only to poverty. That leads us to letter A. And letter A is this. Knowledgeable individuals conserve their speech. Somebody once said, it's better to let people think you're a fool than to open up your mouth and remove all doubt, right? Talking too much becomes white noise sometimes, doesn't it? Ineffective and unnoticed. Sometimes the more you speak, the less listening happens. I'm sure we've all come across. Have you come across somebody who, when he starts speaking, he goes into way, way too much detail. Just detail about everything. And you start falling asleep as they're talking. You're just like, get to the point. Right? They have to explain everything to you. They go into way too much detail. You know, it can be that way with preachers. Maybe I'm doing that right now. I don't know. If it takes 60 minutes to tell you something, or for me to tell you something, that it could take 30 minutes to do, then I can't expect you to sit there and not lose attention, right? I can't expect you to go on listening the whole time. Even I can't do that. You know, if somebody goes too long, I tend to, my mind tends to wander off and I drift off for a while. I inevitably do that. It's the same way with our speech. If you talk too much, you'll not be heard. The more you talk, the less you'll be heard. Okay, letter B. Too much talk often degenerates into sin. It often degenerates into sin. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, it says. The more someone says, the easier it becomes. The easier it becomes to cross the line into unacceptable speech. Now, wisdom chooses silence as a better option. And that is definitely the case on a frequent basis. Now, I have a motto for myself. I don't know if I've ever told you my motto. I use it for myself often. It has served me well on many occasions. My motto is this: when in doubt, chicken out. Right? And that doesn't just cover my speech, but that covers just about everything I do that I'm unsure of. When in doubt, chicken out. I think it's a good rule to follow in any area of your life, but especially in your speech. If it's doubtful, don't do it. When in doubt, don't say that thing that is in the front of your mind and about to come out of your lips. Now, every person in this room has been about to say something, and you've had that inner voice within you. Call it the Holy Spirit, yes? Or maybe just a good dose of common sense sometimes. It comes over you, that inner voice that says, don't say that. Okay, now, how many of you have gone ahead and said it anyways? Nobody, huh? I have. I've gone ahead and said it anyways. How many of us have lived to regret it? Right here, right? I have done that. When in doubt, don't say it. You know, even if it's funny, You know, I like to have people laughing. You know, I enjoy it when people laugh. I love to make people laugh, but sometimes there's that little voice that says, well, you better not say it. And sometimes I guess it doesn't come near enough for me, or maybe I just don't listen to it enough. But be careful. Be careful when the Holy Spirit deals with you about your manner of speech. Again, we're reminded of what the Bible says in Proverbs 14:23. I might have it up on the screen here. Yep. Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter only leads to poverty. Now, someone said, talk is cheap. It's also generally unproductive. Right? It's better to do something than to actually sit around and talk about doing something. So, and never get it done. That's what the proverb says. Labor is always profitable, but talk doesn't profit very much. Now, finally, what specific areas of speech should we avoid? I'm going to give you several tonight in Roman numeral number 3, areas of speech to avoid. And the first area of speech to avoid is a constant theme in the book of Proverbs. And that's this: boasting. Boasting. This is closely related, of course, to pride. Turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27. We're going to look at verse 2. Proverbs 27, verse 2. And then God's word says in verse 2, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Okay, turn back a little to Proverbs chapter 20. It should have been on the screen. But okay, Proverbs chapter 20. We'll look at verse 6. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6 says this: most men will proclaim each his own goodness, But who can find a faithful man? Everyone is trumpeting how great they are, right? But who can find a person who's really great because they're faithful in what they do? They're faithful to their Lord. They're faithful in service to Him. Boasting, you know, that is to brag. It's to proclaim our own success, our own goodness, you might say. God says that should not be in the life of a believer, boasting. If you're to receive praise, these scriptures say, let somebody else do it. Now, don't tell them to do it, but let somebody else do that. It's worth so much more, isn't it? And someone might say, well, if I don't blow my own horn, well, nobody's going to blow it for me. Well, probably better off that you don't blow your own horn. You just remain silent. Because the Bible teaches us that we're not to be engaged in boastful speech. And by the way, that can be done subtly as well as boldly. Self-promoting speech is dangerous and should be avoided. Letter B. Offensive speech. Speech that offends an individual. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of offense sometimes people take nowadays when you take a stand. If I said something like, I believe that a marriage is between a man and a woman. Well, that's the truth, right? That's biblical. People take offense of that. I'm not talking about that. God's word sometimes is offensive, but we need to use it. But turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 10. And God says to us here in verse 10 of chapter 30, do not malign a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be found guilty. Now, the warning here is that the employer or the master may view the critic as a busybody or a meddler or something like that and rebuke him for it. And that's the idea here. In other words, if there's a situation where there's an authority structure in place and you are kind of on the lower echelon of that authority structure, it's unwise for you to go with criticism to the boss and have a habit of continually criticizing someone to the boss. Now, if there's a matter of illegality maybe taking place, a safety issue, maybe that needs to, you certainly need to report that. But to be a busybody and a meddler and always going to the boss to report on something is not something that we should do. It's going to cause problems not only for those people, but for you. Now, if you have a personal problem with somebody, rather than shotgunning it to the world, yeah, you confront that person personally. Oh, okay. Now, going back to the boss here, you might say, well, yes, but if I make so-and-so look bad, it's going to make me look good, right? Not if the boss has half a brain, right? Not if the boss has half a brain, you won't, because any boss who's been experienced for any length of time in employer-employee relations understands that the guy who is the biggest critic of his co-workers is probably not the kind of worker you want in the first place. Right? Far better it is to be silent than to be a critic. And the Bible warns that perhaps the employer will turn back on you and he'll say, well, if you spend your time focusing on what everyone else is doing, you're obviously not concentrating on what your responsibilities are, and he will rebuke you about it. Okay, the Bible warns us about that. Now, what's a good phrase to remember for that? Well, how many of you heard the phrase, mind your own business? Right? We've all heard that phrase. Mind your own business. Did you know that a lot of strife in the workplace, a lot of strife in families, a lot of strife in churches and things like that would be avoided if people would just mind their own business? You know, focus on the responsibilities that you have. Focus on what the Lord wants you to do without worrying about what everyone else is doing. So the Bible tells us that. The Bible says in the New Testament that we should be quiet and work with our hands. and mind that which God has given us, and not be concerned about other individuals. Be careful about offensive speech. And by the way, that would go for anything that really isn't your business or your concern. Anything. Right? It's best simply not to say some things. Let them pass by. Letter C. I think this is an important one because this is one I see a lot. Public arguing and breaking of confidences. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 25, if you would. Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. We'll look at verses 9 and 10 here. Proverbs 25, starting in verse 9. Debate your case with your neighbor and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined. Well, what does that mean? Do not bring outsiders into your conflict. Right? Everybody, listen to this. I could write a book about this. Right? If you're having an issue with somebody else, the way to settle the issue is between you and them, not to bring outsiders along. Now, if you're having an issue with somebody else, the way to settle the issue is never to try to build a team against that other individual. That is ridiculous. That is childish. That's silly. Well, I'm mad at this person, and I'm going to make sure that all my friends are mad at them too. That's silly. I'm going to let them know how poorly this person has treated me. No, I know of adults right now I could name who are engaged in this type of sinful behavior, this type of ridiculousness, this stunt. They have a personal issue, but they can never, ever keep it just between themselves and the other individuals. They always have to bring somebody else into it. Now, here's a good rule of thumb. If you have an issue with someone, never tell the issue to anyone else unless they are, well, particularly part of the problem or potentially a part of the solution. Just those two things. Don't bring others into your personal conflicts. Don't discuss the details of personal conflicts with parties who are neither part of the problem nor part of the solution. But, oh, Pastor, you don't understand. You know, I'm just going to other people asking for their advice. I want counsel. No, I don't buy it for a minute. Right? What you want to do is you want to spread the word and spread dissension. And that's always, always counterproductive. Now, listen to what I'm going to say. The larger you make an issue, the more people you involve in an issue, the more difficult it is to solve the problem. Don't do it. If you have a personal problem with someone, rather than shotgun it to the world, you confront that person personally and you keep committed to keeping it quiet. That's what the scriptures say. Look what the Bible says. Do not disclose the secret to another. We don't even have it up, do we? Do not disclose it to another. Can three people keep a secret? The joke is, yes, if two of them are dead. Right? Now, it's not to be that way, really. And by the way, if you have a secret, honestly, you can keep it a secret. It's possible that you and one other person can keep a secret. By the time three people know, you might as well put it up on the billboards across the motorway. Right? Because everybody's going to know. It's going to be in the papers. You know, don't speak to those who are neither part of the problem nor part of the solution. And we've got one last one. One last negative aspect of speech, an aspect to avoid. Letter D, lying. Lying and deception. I'll give you just three verses really quickly. I won't have you turn there. I'll just give you these verses really quickly. Proverbs 13 and verse 5. Says this, a righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Proverbs 25 and verse 18. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a club a sword, and a sharp arrow. In other words, all of them are instruments of destruction, aren't they? They do great harm if you bear false witness. And then Proverbs 10 and verse 18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Now, what are these verses saying? They're saying that any measure of communicative deception, whether by speech or by email or by social media, whatever it is, anything that is designed to deceive or to lie or to cover the truth or to hide facts, anything of that nature is an abomination to God. Now, listen very closely here. Above all, the things that we say as believers ought to be honest. And you say, how can we make sure of that? Well, make sure all your facts are right. How many things have I seen on Facebook? Stories, rumors that have started that even Christians spread just to make their point. You know, they're mad at somebody, so they find some false story about somebody, put it on the internet, and people just run through it, and it gets all these looks and likes when it's not even true. And by the way, don't spin your facts. I know two people can get into an argument or a disagreement, and you go to a third person, and some person tells it from their point of view. They kind of spin the facts a little, making themselves look just a little better, and the other person just a little worse. You know, it's amazing how people spin what has happened. Couldn't we just honestly say, well, thus and so happened, and that was it? Now, couldn't we just be honest and admit that in almost every conflict, there are two sides of an issue, and there are probably two sides who are wrong in some way in the issue? Right? There is sin happening on both sides. Now, we live in an age of verbal smoke and mirrors. It's to the point where it's hard to believe something that even comes across the media anymore. Have you read the newspapers? Have you seen the news? It becomes more like editorials anymore. It's not the news. They're not presenting the facts. They're presenting their interpretation, their opinion about the facts. So it's hard to believe anything that comes out as any kind of official statement or is reported in the news, because everything has a spin on it, and smoke and mirrors are used to deceive. That has no place. Listen, no place in the life of a believer. Any Christian, keep your speech simple. Keep your speech guarded. Place that guard, that cage over your lips when you need to. And most of all, when you sense the Lord telling you that what you're about to say, don't say it, listen to it. Obey that small voice. You'll never regret. You will never regret not having said something or to refrain from it. You will deeply regret it if you say something, if you just spew out words without thinking, ignoring the Holy Spirit. So remember that. Let's guard our lips. Let's guard our tongues. Let's tell the truth. And let's give words that are edifying, encouraging, and helpful to one another. That don't tear people down. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word today. Lord, we all struggle. We all struggle with this issue of our speech. It's so easy for us to use our language and to misuse our language in a way that just does not honor you. Lord, help us to understand that language is a gift. Lord, it can be used for the uplifting and encouraging of and betterment of people, or it can be used to tear people down and destroy them and their reputations. No, but out of the same mouth, should not proceed both blessings and cursings. And these things ought not to be. So Lord, help us to set a guard over our mouths. Lord, I pray that we'd be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading in prompting us on these things and warning us on these things. Lord, I pray that we'd be more sensitive to that. Help us to be careful so that we can be constructive in our speech, so that we can be helpful in our speech. Lord, bless us and bless these people here as a church family. I pray that you'd use them and use this message to help us to prevent problems and to solve issues even within this body of believers. Maybe sometimes just by our silence we can solve some issues. Lord, meet every need here today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.